all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wiscommon Sense up here on the shores of Lake Wissota. It's another beautiful day up north. Sun's up earlier all the time. Can see the lake here. Can also see nobody's got their docks in yet because the water's still running high, but fishing opener's coming. Folks will be on the water before you know it. 37 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Coming up on the show this morning, at the intersection of when help wanted meets bad idea. For example, a Wisconsin-based company uses more than 100 children across the country to do dangerous work inside meatpacking plants. There's Republican politicians who will do anything to avoid immigration reform, so they are loosening child labor rules. They are trying to push retirees back into the workforce. They are making it harder for people to get trained for better paying jobs. Look, they knew, we all knew, the baby boomers would retire, so why are they still struggling with a labor shortage? Also, Christina Laurie joins us at 6:30 with some of the more upbeat stories from our daily newsletter. And then our friend Hans Breitenmoser, a Lincoln County dairy farmer and former county board member, joins us at 7:30. Did you know that back in 1911, Wisconsin state government gave a whopping 90% of state revenue back to local governments and schools because that's where most services were taking place? But now, after 12 years of GOP control, less than 10% of state revenue goes to local providers and local decision makers. So we will talk more about the impact and the ongoing effort to use the state budget to stoke division between rural and urban Wisconsinites, when frankly the division shouldn't be nearly that wide. We have a lot more in common than people want to give credit for. Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio will join us coming up at 7:50. And along the way, if you have comments on any of the day's top stories and opinion that you'd like to share with a statewide radio audience, you can call, comment, or email us. You can call us at 844-967-2789. And the email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. You can also catch up on past episodes of our show over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You click on shows, you'll find Up North News and look at some of our past shows and maybe subscribe to us as a podcast. 6:09, Aaron Zommers joins us from Madison on this Tuesday morning. Mr. Z, how are you?
Pretty good. Nothing too crazy. Although yesterday I did go and watch Return of the Jedi in theaters for its 40th anniversary, and that was fun.
Did you? Okay. Now, that's number four, right? Slash number one.
That is the
six. No. That's A New Hope. What's Return of the Jedi? That's five?
It is six. Five is Empire Strikes Back.
Five is Empire Strikes Back. See, there should be a quiz. There should be. But would you get all nine? You'd get all nine. Could you list all nine in order?
Yeah, we have The Phantom Menace, we have Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Last Skywalker. Or no, Rise of Skywalker. That's what the last one is. I goofed it up.
So you have either truly impressed some folks out there, or they're shouting things at us, you know, like nerd alert or, you know, whatever. But
probably the latter.
Yeah, you know, I'll bet it's both. I'll bet right now there's somebody out there going, I have to go to propose to him. This is the guy I want to spend my life with because, you know, birds of a feather. So why just that one in theaters? It was the anniversary of its release?
Yes, the 40th anniversary of its release. I think they've done similar things for some of the others, but Empire Strikes Back, I think that was during the pandemic. So maybe not that one.
Okay. Well, I don't want to take too much thunder away from Thursday. We're going to do Star Wars Day that day, May the 4th. And the thing that I know they're putting together a little graphic for Up North News is this. I don't know if debate is the right word, but people have put together, you know, the quintessential list of watching those nine Star Wars movies. And now you add some of the other shows that they've created since, watching them in the proper order. not the order that they came out in, and not even necessarily the chapter order that you just rattled off, but that you, if you watch it in this order instead, things make even more sense. Are you a subscriber to that theory? And more importantly, since you can name all these, have you actually ever done something like that?
I have not really watched them out of order like that, but I've definitely heard those theories. And what I did with my roommate is we just watched 1 through 5, then we went to the theater to see 6, and then we're going to watch the sequels again.
Okay.
So we'll see. And maybe, you know, maybe we got to start over and start with A New Hope or something. Do the whatever the order is.
All right. Well, we'll review that on Thursday. Thursday, I'll be doing the show from Oshkosh. Friday as well from the Fox Valley. Barring technical difficulties, we will talk about things at that point. Little reminder, the newsletter that we put out at Up North News comes out early every morning, and today's is out. Among the stories on there, you can now check out day passes to state parks and forests and recreation areas in libraries. You can get day passes to these parks and forests at more than 160 libraries across Wisconsin. The details are there in our newsletter. Also, if you're doing spring cleaning, a little note on what shelters could use right now from the things that you would otherwise be throwing away. Also, fresh off their $1 million game store win, the owners of Door County Candle are partnering with another company to raise even more money for Ukraine. And over on the Up North News social media feed, some of our lighter posts, including the Grilled Cheese Championships in Dodgeville. And on the website, I will continue to update the state budget process as the Joint Finance Committee meets today. And I'll be talking more about that and other headlines around Wisconsin coming up right after this break. You're Up North. The passing of Gordon Lightfoot yesterday at the age of 84, passed away in Toronto, one of Canada's most famous singer-songwriters who achieved international success. And I'll tell you what, I put that up on my Facebook feed when I first saw the note from his Facebook account. I was on social media at the time, and it's noted that he had passed away. And of course, one of the songs he's most known for is The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, which begins, "The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down, blah, 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 blah." So I simply linked to his passing, the announcement of it, and simply put on there, "The legend lives on," just a little play on the tunes. And I really didn't think anybody was going to pick up on that or really take much notice. I was surprised by how many people not only responded to it, but in a way that said they were going to miss him. They really liked his tunes, and he is one of those folks. Again, if you're of a certain age, I don't know that Mr. Zommers here has heard a single Gordon Lightfoot song beyond "Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald." But when you actually look at all of the singles that he put out once upon a time, there's much more there than you would expect. There's a few things that there's Sundown, and there's pretty soon there's Venture a Highway, and there is Beautiful, and the one we just played there, The Circle Is Small, Rainy Day People. Just kind of, again, for folks who were around in the 70s listening to the radio, he was all over the place. He no wonder he got to be as well known as he did.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. I definitely have listened to him. Not enough that I know the names of a lot of the songs, but I'll recognize him and be like, yeah, that's a good one. I don't know.
Just that one we played right there, "The Circle Is Small." The subtitle of it is "I Can See It in Your Eyes," which is probably what people looked for. That's one of those songs where, again, I've been hearing it for 40 years, but I could have never told you the title of the song. Some songs are like that, where it's like the title is not necessarily obvious based on the lyrics of it, but yeah, it. You hear those songs, and so for Gordon Lightfoot, again, quite a career. And noting his passing at the age of 84 in Canada last night. All right, let's get back on track here with sports at 6:18. Well, there isn't much because the Brewers were off yesterday. The Bucks, of course, did what they did. So The Brewers begin a three-game series in Colorado tonight against the Rockies, and Freddie Peralta will be on the mound. Though I would take a second to make note that the Brewers have finished their first month of the season. It's in the books, and they're 18-10, second place in the division. And as written in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning by Kurt Hogg and Todd Rosiak, that ain't nothing to sneeze at. When you consider all the injuries that the team has had this year, and then the way that others have stepped up, the Brewers are actually doing better than expectations. I know I get a little frustrated at times because the bats, you know, sometimes have a big game and sometimes they don't. That's the nature of baseball anyway. It just always feels like the games I happen to be watching are the ones where we don't get nearly as much offense. But again, this is a team that on the pitching side has missed at points Brandon Woodruff, Adrian Hauser, Aaron Ashby. Ashby's likely out for the season after shoulder surgery. Brandon Woodruff not expected to return until late June. You've got Garrett Mitchell, who's out for the season because of shoulder surgery. Luis Urias strained his hamstring on opening day. He won't be available till later at the end of this month, May. Tyrone Taylor is finally nearing a return after being sidelined by an elbow sprain. And yet, despite all that, pitchers like Wade Miley have stepped up, and then you're getting both offense and defense from Joey Weimer, Bryce Terang, Brian Anderson. So to be at this position, you've got a save guy in Devin Williams. You know, once we lost our ace last year, you know, Devin Williams was able to step up and go 5 for 5 and save opportunities so far and has not allowed a run. So all things considered, Brewers are still a good team to watch, follow, and listen to, which leads to this shameless plug for Civic Media, because there are a couple of Civic Media stations that are the home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball. They include News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, where I'll be later this week, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM. So give a listen to the Brewers on those stations when you're able. All right, another reminder before I get into headlines here, if you'd like to join us for any of the conversations, I'll be taking phone calls in this segment and then again in the segment an hour from now at 7:15. That's because we'll have Christina Laurie coming up at 6:30. We have our usual history lesson and music at 6:50. So if you want to pipe in on any of the headlines, do it this segment or at the 7:15 segment at 844-967-2789. And the theme I want to hit on right now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, deals with the labor shortage and the right ways and the wrong ways that you would go about doing something about these issues. These are very real issues. These are very pressing problems in the workforce. So what do you do about that? And what do you not do about that? Well, for example, on the Republican side of things, again, here, let me back up a step because I'm burying the lead. If you want to fix the labor shortage, fix immigration. Okay. I cannot believe I'm still hearing from Republican lawmakers word actual things that they say in floor debate and in committee hearings about, well, we just need to tell more people to start having more babies. Well, that's going to fix nothing. And by the way, you're howling into the wind because people aren't having 6, 7, 8 kids anymore. Many are having none or having 1 or 2. So the whole making babies thing is not going to be your key. And, you know, at that point, you're showing that you're not serious about solving this issue. And stop being allergic to immigration reform. I mean, you've used it as such a cudgel for so long without acknowledging that fixing immigration, real immigration reform, is the single best thing the country can do. But instead, you look at areas like all the meatpacking plants around the country, which already are operating with so much undocumented labor that can lead to all kinds of volatility. But now, of course, with the labor shortage and everything, you've got kids working in these dangerous situations. And one of them is a Wisconsin-based company, Packers Sanitation Services, which does the cleaning and sanitizing of these meatpacking plants around the country, but they just paid a massive fine for having children do a lot of this work, where they're working with dangerous chemicals, where they're working with dangerous razor-sharp equipment in these slaughterhouses. And as they get investigated, you know, again, now they're losing work, and certainly losing workers, again, looking for people, because if we had fixed our immigration system sooner, you would have more people here legally, not necessarily as citizens, but at least to have work permits or perhaps permanent residency. They would have driver's licenses so that if they get involved in a mishap, you know who they are. Instead, they have every incentive to hit and run and drive away because they don't have a license and, you know, don't want to be deported. But it's the child labor that I want to focus on here as well, as well as the labor on the other end of the age spectrum. But start with the child labor. The Labor Department says there's been a nearly 70% increase in the past 5 years in the number of children being employed illegally nationwide, and it has more than 600 child labor investigations underway. And of course, there's always the concern about exploitation, human trafficking, everything like that. So is the right answer more child labor? No, of course it's not. And yet, there is a new bill in the Wisconsin legislature that would allow 14-year-olds in Wisconsin to serve alcohol. 14-year-olds could serve alcohol to seated customers in bars and restaurants under a bill that is now circulating for co-sponsorship by a pair of Republican lawmakers. They would be Rob Staffschult of New Richmond and Chance Green of Grandview. The current age limit says only workers 18 and older can serve alcohol to customers in Wisconsin. The bill would broaden that to workers ages 14 to 17. They could only serve to seated customers, not drinkers who are at the bar itself. Well, I mean, gosh, thanks for clarifying that part of it, because you wouldn't ever have drunk and disorderly people sitting at a table while they're having dinner, right? Anyway, Staffschult and Green say that the current age limit on serving alcohol, quote, causes workforce issues due to an establishment's underage employees only being able to do part of the job. As if it's some kind of damning indictment that we don't let kids serve alcohol. And yet this is their idea of a solution. Their other idea of a solution, as we saw last week, was if somebody loses their job, is to punish them for it right away. Instead of, all right, you still need to pay the bills. You don't want to lose your house. You don't want to get evicted from your apartment. You know, here's some unemployment compensation. If you need to get education or training, get it. Let's get you a higher paying job. Instead of all that, it's if you don't take the next job that comes along, no matter how crappy, no matter how low the wages are, well, you're not going to qualify for medical assistance and you're not going to get unemployment insurance. There's absolutely no incentive to bring up skills in the Wisconsin workforce. And we also hear repeatedly about one way to fix Social Security is to, you know, maybe make it more incentivizing for people not to retire early or not to retire when they plan to, and to stay in the workforce where they're needed. To which you can already hear people in France going, oh, hell no. Because you're working all your life. Maybe you've saved up and you're able to retire at 64, 63, maybe 62. And politicians are saying, well, why don't we try to find ways to keep them from retiring? Because again, our friends in the corporate community have a labor shortage and they want to do something about it. So again, trying to stretch the age spectrum with people who want to retire and trying to keep them in the workforce, and people who shouldn't be in the workforce but should be in the classroom, but you're loosening child labor laws, neither would do nearly the amount of good. If you would simply tap into a market of workers, of hardworking people that are out there who are working here already, but are doing so in fear, they're doing so in a way that makes it easy to exploit them, Can we fix this already? Because when you fix immigration, you make it less likely that our children find themselves in dangerous conditions. And you make for a workforce that puts in their time and then is ready to move on to retirement and hopefully retire in Wisconsin if you'd stop having these conditions that chase people away. All right, time to look at the lighter side of things. My partner, Christina Laurie from Up North News, puts together our daily newsletter. She loves the upbeat, positive stories, and so we've given her a segment called The Uplift, and that's coming up right after this break. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday.
It's so important to make someone happy.
All right, Christina Laurie is here, who, like Jimmy Durante there, just wants to make someone happy. And speaking of Jimmy Durante, if you don't have the Sleepless in Seattle soundtrack, do yourself a favor and get that. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And again, the newsletter can be found at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner for stories that Christina puts together. We have flipped the calendar since we last met. We are now in the month of May, and as many months do, they bring on different specialties, different ways to appreciate certain groups, and that's certainly the case this time, where we can patronize certain businesses, learn more about cultures and products. What can you tell us about the month of May?
Well, May 1st, so starting Monday, was Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. And so, of course, you know, it feels like every day and every month is something, right, Pat? But it's nice to actually put some effort behind it. So a great thing to do this month would just be to pay a little bit more attention to how and where you're spending your money and maybe go to an Asian-owned business. So we have an entire list of great bakeries and restaurants posted on our website. But also another really easy way to find one near you, because obviously we cover the whole state, so the odds are one of the eight that we have featured are probably not super convenient for you unless you just happen to live in one of those towns. Right. So you can actually go to Yelp and you can filter results not only by the type of cuisine that you want, but you can filter it based on who owns that business. So for this month, you know, you can check Asian owned. And that is a great way to contribute this month. But you can also do it for other things. You can do it by Black owned. You can do it by woman owned. It's a great way to be a little bit more conscientious about where you're spending your money.
Very much so. And we've talked about this, with Black History Month and, Women's History. And it's the opportunities are out there. And obviously, patronizing small businesses and learning a bit more, getting out of your comfort zone, going to a different restaurant or, bookstore, whatever the case is great. And it's not just that, but as I recall, there's also opportunities to read more about various cultures. And you'll see book lists that are put out. You'll see presentations where you can learn more about, in this case, AAPI artists and other leaders. So it is, again, just that great reason to expand your horizon a bit and, get a few ideas from Christina in the newsletter.
You'll also be surprised at what you find, and it dispels a lot of stereotypes that you might think you're a very inclusive person, but then you go on Yelp and you're expecting, oh, I want, a great Asian themed meal. Well, Asian owned businesses offer much more than just Asian food. I mean, I live in Madison and there are multiple pizza places that are owned by wonderful Asian couples. There's a bakery that I absolutely love called Lacey's on State Street. It's like halfway in between the Capitol and campus. And it's a great eclectic mix. They'll have cheesecakes and then they'll also have authentic Asian pastries. So it's great to, expand your horizons. And you can still, if you have a taste for pizza this month, great. Get it from a different pizza place that's owned by, someone who's not from America.
There you go. And along with that, we have, again, by virtue of the calendar, we have Cinco de Mayo coming up this week as well, which gives us an opportunity to learn more about Hispanic-owned businesses and Folks, don't just use it as a drinking day. There's always an educational opportunity, and learn to appreciate other folks along the way.
Yeah, and so that's another way you can use Yelp. You can filter by Hispanic-owned businesses, and that's a great way to actually support them. But also keep in mind that Cinco de Mayo is really not a thing in Mexico.
Right.
I mean, it's an Americanized holiday. Of course, it's a great excuse to have a margarita and a few tacos, support a local business, but it's not, don't think you're doing like your Hispanic friends a favor by telling them happy Cinco de Mayo, because they have much bigger, more important holidays.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the next item on our list. And that is a way that, school lunches can be supported. And then look, from a news standpoint, from a political standpoint, one of the many provisions that legislators have to decide is a proposal by Governor Evers that would help lunches and school breakfasts be cost free to more kids. But whatever happens of that from a policy standpoint, you know, what we have right now is the system we have right now. And so there are students who come from lower income families, and, you know, there are opportunities to help out some of those students, right?
Yes. So something right now making its way through the legislature, and hopefully it will be included in the budget that Democrats and Republicans are working together to pass on. There's no indication, I want to make it clear, there's no indication that this provision won't be included. Evers has wanted to offer free breakfast and lunch to every Wisconsin student. And before you shake your head and go, okay, great, like dream big, how is that going to happen? It's been happening for the past 2 years during the pandemic. It was funded through federal funds mostly, but Wisconsin does have a $7 billion surplus, and this plan will cost about $100 million. So we can more than afford it. And just, I mean, put yourself in their shoes. If you were from a family, if you're a kid and you're kind of embarrassed because your family never really has enough to eat, so you have to take advantage of the free program at school, and you feel kind of isolated because you're one of only a handful of kids taking advantage of it. Wouldn't it be great if you didn't feel so otherized because everyone was taking advantage of this free food? And before you go, like, okay, great, free, you know, people, free can be triggering to a lot of people. Like, Why are we giving so many handouts to people?
It really seems to be, but holy cow, I'll say it again. Unlike city buses, we don't tell kids when they get on the school bus, you know, to put some money in the cash box, you know, in the fare box. We don't do that to charge rides. Why aren't we making sure that they're well fed in school? Sorry, that's a soapbox I'll get on all the time. Of the things that should be free in the world, could we agree on feeding kids, folks? Okay, end of rant. Sorry.
No, thank you. We can't say that enough. First of all, it's kids we're talking about. And then it's one of the basic necessities that everyone needs to eat. And that's just a basic human right. So since we can afford it, we can more than afford it here in Wisconsin. Now I'll get off my soapbox of why legislators will hopefully include that in the next budget. But in the meantime, because everything takes long in government, there is something you can do. So if you're listening to this and you agree with us that food is a human right that every kid should be able to have, you can reach out on wherever you live, your local district's website. If you go to them, there'll be, you know, a meal link on this. Every website in the state has this. You can help pay for the meals of kids who need them. So it's a great way to just chip in and make a real difference in your own community. I mean, lunches, they don't cost a lot of money. It's a couple bucks. So if you pitch in $20, you're providing lunch for 10 kids, or you're providing, you know, a full week's worth of lunches for 2 kids. That's a really impactful way to make a difference. And every dollar really does matter.
And seriously, there are people that are in, you know, they're in line at Starbucks or whatever, and they think they're doing this great job saying, hey, I'm going to pay for the person behind me in line. Do this instead.
They were already
going to spend $5. Yeah, on their lattes, you know, with soy milk or whatnot. Help the kids instead. And we have had State Representative Christina Shelton on a couple of times. This has been one of her leading projects that she's been promoting. And you can also learn more from the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin. Can also help make sure that, you know, no kids go hungry because the adult in their life cannot afford school meals. I don't know if I guess uplifting describes this next piece. It's just a quick update that I know that the clinics up here and doctor's offices in Western and Northwest Wisconsin just very recently waived the last of the mandatory face mask rules that they had. Their people are getting their booster shots. They're getting vaccinated. And with the official state of emergency ending, that you can look for that change as well. And understand that, that you can still respect somebody's wishes, whether they want to be masked or not. Right.
Yeah. So it's pretty easy to look back at the past 3 years and lay out a long list of all of the bad things that happened because of COVID, but there are still good things that continue to happen and just are kind of becoming the quote unquote new normal. I hesitate using that word because that's another triggering phase. We like to leave that one in the past, but a really good change that's happening at doctor's offices across the state is that they're eliminating waiting rooms for the most obvious reason of germs. We found out during COVID that a lot of sicknesses are very easily transmittable. Also, people don't like waiting. So now a lot of offices, the COVID has, helped them modernize in the span of 3 years what may have taken 30 or 50 years, and they've just eliminated waiting rooms altogether. So a lot of doctor's offices, you have to have an app now, and you just check in mobily. You can wait in your car, you can run errands nearby while you're waiting, and then you'll get a notification the doctor will be in 5 minutes, and you can pull back in, you walk right in to your clinic, and you have your meeting with your doctor. So, it's just, that's one of the positives that not enough people are talking about that was caused by the pandemic.
And honestly, compared to a waiting room with the, the magazines that still talk about whether will Bill Clinton run for a second term? These are very old magazines, and most people would rather sit in their vehicles. Their vehicles have a satellite radio or a DVD, streaming. They have Wi-Fi hotspots in the vehicles. And so, yeah, if you're sitting there and waiting for your turn, it probably works out better. If it also keeps some of these docs from triple booking, and then people are waiting an hour plus in the waiting room, that's also not a bad thing. So why wouldn't we use the technology to our advantage, right?
Well, also parents with kids, if you're waiting at a pediatrician's office, they always have all of those touch games on the ground. They have like wooden blocks that you can slide and Legos to build in the sick waiting room.
Right.
So, these poor parents, their kid is already sick. Then they're going to get all these other germs, bring them back to their house. It's very hard. You can't say no to your kid when they want to play with these toys. It's very hard to explain to them why they can't touch it. So it's great to just eliminate that altogether and make it easier for everyone.
If your kid's going to lick toys, just make sure they're in the phase where they're licking their own and not somebody else's. Christina, if folks have some news tips, uplifting stories, suggestions, or questions, what should they do?
Yes, please email me, Christina Laurie at upnorthnewswi.com. Or just the easiest thing, I put together our daily newsletter. It goes out every single day. We always include a positive story in there, as well as some policy news too. So you get your fun news and your important news. And that will just be delivered first thing in the morning, right to your inbox. You can sign up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com.
We would like very much for that to be something that you do. And by the way, if you really kick it old school, we haven't mentioned this for some time now, but if you want to send us something, like maybe an old index card with your grandma's cookie recipe for the newsletter, I don't know, you can send that to Up North News, Post Office Box 27, Chippewa Falls, 54729, and we will get it there. Christina, thanks again so much. We appreciate it.
And if anyone does have their old grandma's recipes, I would personally love to see each and every one of those. So please do send those in.
I wouldn't mind that one bit. All right. Thanks, Christina.
Bye, Pat.
She's not kidding. We would take your cookie recipes. P.O. Box 27, Chippewa Falls is where folks send us snail mail, and we would love to have that. Back to where we started on Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, or AAPI Month, and giving us a chance to learn more and celebrate and appreciate a history that spans many countries, many generations. We don't just need to be learning, European history. We are a bigger country than that. We have the third largest population among Americans among the states. We have a growing population of Asian Americans with diverse cultures. One way we could address that is for the legislature to pass a bill by State Assembly Rep Francesca Hong, Wisconsin's first Asian American state legislator, that requires schools around the state to teach Hmong American and Asian American history, which has the support from people like Attorney General Josh Call, whose father was an immigrant from India. Much like we talked about in the last segment, we're a nation of immigrants. Let's get back to embracing and celebrating that. And we'll have our history lesson and a little music break coming up in just a bit on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low.
It's a birthday today for Lou Gramm.
He could picture the scene.
He is 73 today. But I'll turn this song up every time. That's Lou Gramm, the original frontman of Foreigner. Again, turning 73 today. Born Louis Andrew Grammatico in Rochester, New York.
What a voice he's got.
Love that. His voice is so good. Again, when I'm going through all the Foreigner songs last night, it's like, how do you pick one? Well, I'm always going to pick Jukebox Hero, but there's plenty of other good ones to choose from as well. Meanwhile, at another point in the musical spectrum, you've got Lou Gramm at one end, but make some room at the other end for this guy who turns 87 today, Engelbert Humperdinck.
So I sing you to sleep after the loving with a song I just wrote yesterday.
Just could melt butter, that guy, I tell you. His birth name was Arnold Dorsey. Apparently, Arnold Dorsey wasn't going to cut it in show business, so he borrowed Engelbert Humperdinck, the name of the German composer of the 1893 opera Hansel and Gretel. Of all the places to find a stage name, I don't think I would have picked that one.
You know, I never knew that he just picked that as a stage name. I just thought he coincidentally had the same name as that composer.
No,
which is kind of stupid in hindsight, but you know.
Yeah. No, not at all. Born on this day in 1936, so 87 years old today. Other birthdays today, Larry Gatlin, country music singer, is 75 years old today. Leslie Gore was born this day in 1946. She passed away in 2015 of, you know, It's My Party. Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC is 56 years old today. Soccer legend David Beckham is 48 years old today. Now, the next tune we're going to play is from 1997, but not really. It's actually from 1962, but it was on this day in 1997, the release of Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery, and it's how everybody knows this tune by Quincy Jones. That, of course, would be the Soul Bossa Nova. That song was released in 1962, which was the same year the first James Bond movie came out, and Austin Powers, of course, was a spoof on that. On this day in 1920, the first game of the Negro League National League Baseball is played in Indianapolis. On this day in 2000, a decision was made by President Bill Clinton. We all take GPS for granted. Now, it's everywhere. It's in our phones. We get everywhere because of GPS. It was not accessible to everybody until this day in 2000, when Bill Clinton announced it would no longer be restricted for and by the United States military, that it was now for worldwide civilian use. On this day in 2011, Osama bin Laden is finally located and killed by U.S. Special Forces in Abbottabad, Pakistan. The number one song on this day in 1987 was from Cutting Crew. Did they ever have a follow-up to I Just Died in Your Arms?
I don't know.
No, they might be one-hit wonders. I'd have to double-check that. A couple of years later, in 1989, The Cure released Disintegration, their eighth studio album. Had a couple of hits, including Love Song. This one's like what we talked about before, Aaron, with one of the Gordon Lightfoot songs. I've heard the song a million times. I would have never been able to tell you the title.
Oh, yeah.
Love Song.
Same here, where I just realized this is which song it was when it started playing now.
Yeah, exactly.
But obviously, I've heard it a million times.
On this day in 2006, Tool released their fourth album. The album was titled 10,000 Days. It sold more than 500,000 copies in its first week and included songs like The Pot.
Rob the grave to snow.
Also on this day in 2006, Neil Young released his 27th studio album, Living with War, critiquing George W. Bush's presidency. But back to Tool. What was the observation you were making about the group?
Yeah, I've listened to plenty of Tool, but when we started doing this music history segment, I never would have expected they'd come up so often.
No, because remember, the first time I was like, are you punking me? Is there really a group called Tool? Yeah, there is. And you know, we keep bringing these tunes up and I go, how do I miss these things when they first come out? Well, because I'm mostly listening to Gordon Lightfoot, you know, and things like that.
Which is fair enough.
It was on this day in 1943 that Roll Out the Barrel, you know, the song they play in the seventh inning stretch at Milwaukee Brewers games. It was on this day in 1943, Roll Out the Barrel was banned as a marching song for training American airmen. Because the song was deemed too lusty. Too lusty. Roll out the barrel. Is it just the words zing boom terrero? Or what do you think it is about the song that was so offensive in 1943?
That might be it, because you know that's one of the last
roll
songs
out the
that
barrel.
Would come to mind.
We'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out the barrel. We got the blues on a run. Zing boom terrero. Let's have a song of good cheer. Now it's time to roll. Barrel Gang is all here. But no, I'm not hearing it. Maybe there's a secret verse two that's especially lusty.
Maybe.
I guess we should investigate that during the break, huh?
Yeah, because there's nothing lusty about that first one. It's just, no. Hey, let's have a good time. There's beer.
There's, yeah. I don't get it. Now, normally when the Brewers are at home, if we have tickets to give away, this would be the time that we would do it. The Brewers, of course, are on the road and in Colorado for three games. Then they're in San Francisco for three games. But this is a good time to, again, note that if you're a Civic Media radio station listener in the Fox Valley or around Richland Center, we got your Brewers. Oshkosh Air Support, that's at 98.3 FM and 1100 AM. And News from the Center, WRCE, at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. And we'll ask trivia questions occasionally in these segments where you can win or you can listen again to the Brewers on those stations and more right here on Civic Media. And you can follow Civic Media through civicmedia.us, and that's where you'll find all the shows. And that's where we put every one of these shows as a podcast. Every hour is a separate episode of one, and you can subscribe right there, and we'd love to have you along. You can follow Up North News, which is a separate entity, over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on social media. We would love to be able to hear from you there. Coming up in our next hour, our friend Hans Brighton Moser, he's a Lincoln County dairy farmer, former county board member. So we're going to talk a bit about the way that state government and local government could work and play well together a little better if the legislature actually wanted to. We'll be back here up north.